What would you put in your backpack if you had a new coaching engagement but could only take a limited number of items? Each episode, the Coach's Backpack looks at the multifaceted world of coaching and asks a new guest to tell us what they would take with them and why. Hi, I'm David Lowe, and this week we're taking a peek inside the backpack of enterprise coach Jonninger Hervik from Adventures with Agile Norway. Welcome, Jonninger.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
And to have you with us. First of all, before I get you to describe what you do in under 20 words, do you want to correct my pronunciation of your name at all?
Thank you. I think it's really good. You are the first that started insisting actually using my full name and when we work together. But it's Jonninger Hervik. And I think you did it very well.
I'm just going to copy that you just said.
Jonninger Hervik.
And pretend that I've repeated it. So I'll do something marvelous. Now it's the really tough stuff. So how would you,
Jonninger Hervik,
describe what you do in under 20 words?
So my goal at it is helping team and organizations and individuals reach their goals by raising their own awareness of their values and behaviors so that they can align these and make more deliberate choices.
Okay, I'm not going to count up the words, Jonninger, but I think that there was more there. So I'm going to send you the fine for the extra words. All right, well, look, you know the concept, but in case anyone listening doesn't, you've been asked to coach a new client, but are limited to what you can take with you. So don't worry, you've got your essentials, you've got your clothes, your toothbrush, your brown cheese. For anyone who doesn't know, you've got to check out Norwegian brown cheese and waffles. In addition to all of those, you can take one book, one tool, technique, concept, method, approach, or whatever you want to call it, one other item of your choice, plus a person from the past or the present to accompany you. So, Jonninger, what would you take with you and why?
Yeah, so I started with a book. And this is the book I would like to bring is TA Today, An Introduction to Transaction Analysis. And it's written by Ian Stewart and Van Joints. And the reason I would like to bring it is because it's a great introduction to transaction analysis and also a great reference for me, at least, to look up how things are working and to remember things that I've forgotten. And I use a lot of the transactional analysis material as a foundation to understand how we work as people, but also how we interact, how we communicate and work together. So it's a really good theory of personality and communication to work in organizations or with individuals and how they are interacting and showing up in the world.
So for anyone who doesn't know about transactional analysis, and let's just call it TA from now, because it's a hard word to say. So anyone who doesn't know about TA, can you give us an overview? I'm really, really putting you on the spot now.
Well, yeah, as I said, it's a theory of personality, and there's also a theory of communication. So one of the main concepts is really about how you show up in your behavior from different so-called ego states. So if we are showing up together in the here and now, we're relating to each other on what is actually happening, we say that we are showing up in the adult. So we're treating each other as adults and also looking at what resources we have available and our thinking, our options to ask for help, for instance, all of that is in the here and now. The ego state, which we call the parent, is concerned with rules and regulations we've learned. So this is going into that ego state is really like almost becoming one of your parents or another adult figure. And they're not really addressing the here and now, but it's more like how it should be, how you learned it should be from earlier in life. And a child is almost like the opposite, but this is more of discounting almost that you have options, that you are able to access all of the resources. So you're playing again back something you learned from when you were younger. The transaction analyze name is from how are we meeting each other. So for instance, I am becoming overly critic about how you prepare this podcast. So then I could to criticize you on don't do this. Mm-hmm. And I'm then inviting you to play back from your child as you were when you were younger. So we also look at how we are interacting and see the patterns of interaction and communication through that.
And when there's a child, there's not always an adult. And when there's an adult, there's not always a child. Okay, is that correct? So that when, if you spoke to me as a parent, I could still respond as an adult. So I'm kind of rejecting that.
Yeah. Yeah. So just raising awareness around the states, for instance, is a great way to understand that, well, I don't really have to come into this parent type of role. I can just be here and now and invite you back. So that's true. Yeah, absolutely.
So with that in mind, how do you use it when you're working with an organization as an enterprise coach?
So what I usually do, especially with teams, is just sharing concepts from TEA, for instance, these ego states with the team so they can raise awareness of how they are interacting. But we also can look into how are we developing our so-called life script, or in other words, how we understand how the world works from our perspective. Because this is defined from we were children. And bringing that into the conversation in a team, for instance, we can see how people's personalities and motivations and drivers are influencing their behavior. So raising awareness and then also bringing empathy or widening the empathy in the group is really powerful. The other way to use it is also to look at transactions, as we just talked about, or something also called games, how we interact in wider patterns to see if they show up and how they are holding us stuck. So something you'll see in organizations and in families is that people have a tendency to do the same things over and over again, almost like they're playing a game or as if they're playing a broken record. So raising awareness and then analyzing and looking at how can we break that pattern to be more resourceful in our actions together.
Well, thank you very much. So TA today is going in the backpack. What else is going in this backpack then, Jonninger?
Well, probably he won't go in the backpack, but he's coming along, a man called Robert Keegan. So he's a development psychologist working with adult development. And the reason I would like to bring him is because he has created, or he has written about stages of development in adult development. So looking at how can we develop our capabilities of complexity, holding paradoxes, but also how we can take ownership for ourselves, how we would like to even change in order to get what we would like to achieve in life. And I'm guessing that his wisdom and also his perspectives from his later stage development would be really valuable. But the most valuable, I think, would be in the coaching is his approach on really getting into changing the most important things for us, the things that we're really stuck on. And he has created something called immunity to change, where he looks at what are we committed to in order to change something we would like? What are we actually doing? And then he looks into commitments that we have against this and the big assumptions that we carry with us that are preventing us from actually doing what we would like to do. So this is a really cool technique, and it's similar in other kinds of coaching as well. But I really like the way he has written about it and the way he goes about it.
Okay, so you're bringing the man and the model. You're getting two for one.
Yeah.
Well, and all of his books, I'm assuming, as well. So, all right. I agree. Probably not putting him in the backpack would be a wise move. So you are left with a tool, a technique, a concept, a method, or approach, or whatever you want to call it, plus any other item of your choice. So what are you going for next?
Well, I think I'm going for the tool. And this might be more of a concept, really. So it's the concept or the tools from systems thinking. And the approach or the tool I would like to bring is mainly the causal loop diagramming, which I use with both teams and with individuals to look at what's really going on beneath the surface. And the reason I'm mentioning the iceberg model as well is because looking at the events, so the iceberg model is looking at the events, then looking at patterns of behavior over time. So we also see this going back to the TA stuff of looking at what are the patterns we're really engaging with. And the next level in the iceberg model is looking at what is the structures that is supporting these behaviors, these patterns. And causal loop diagram can help us look at what is happening and what feedback loops are keeping this system in place and helping us do the, or reinforcing these patterns, you could say. And then we, in the last level of the iceberg model, we also look at the mental models of this. And as you see as well, what we bring from TA, how we grew up, how we have created for ourselves, how the world works in these live scripts, and also how we show up in the interactions with each other is really driving our behavior and then defining the structures which we interact and also the organization structures that we create. So this is the concept. System thinking is a really powerful tool, I think. And it's used in a bit different way maybe than it's traditionally been used, because some people have probably used it more for analysis, but this is more like using the tools in a here and now setting. So what are we now seeing? Not what is the absolute truth of what is causing what, but it's more like, what is really happening? What is impacting what? And how is this feedbacking back into how we think and how we then react?
I don't know, let's get into a discussion about absolute truth, because we could be here for some time. The fact that you then changed what you were saying from supports, or I can't remember what the other word you used, but you then changed it to reinforces. So I'm assuming that this can be positive and destructive.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So the two main kind of feedback loops, which one is holding things in place. So you're trying to change, but it's bringing you back either for a positive or a negative effect. But you also have these reinforcing loops that which could really go spiraling for a while. It won't be forever, but it could go spiraling viral, good, or it could be a spiral of death. So looking at the structures that are maintaining these patterns could be really helpful. Yeah.
All I can think of now is a corkscrew. Is it wine time?
yeah, that would be good.
Well, you have got one other object to put in your bag, one other item to put in your bag. So what is it? Maybe it is a bottle of Chateau Lafite that we can share.
Yeah, it would be really good. It's not that versatile, but it's wine can be used in all situations almost, but I'm bringing stickies. And stickies is really powerful and versatile as a coaching tool. The way I like to use it is, well, I use it for a lot of different things, because you can write things on them, you can use it as placeholders, but you can also just have them as note-taking.
Just a cuddle. Do you ever take a packet of sticky notes to bed with you, just a cuddle?
Yeah.
Whatever
is your flavor.
I mean, I've just got you to admit that on recording, so that was kind of weird. Yeah. So come on, tell us more about your sticky note obsession. And obviously we're using the word sticky note because you want to avoid post-it note in case anyone kind of complains the fact that there are, of course, other brands.
Yes.
But are there really any other? Oh, no, let's not go down that route. Anyway, yes, tell us more.
Well, the main way I like to use them is to capture ideas that the coachee is talking about, so that they can either reference them for later, but also to move them around and see how they are connecting to other things. And one powerful way I've been using stickies, which can be done on the individual level and also with teams and organizations, is it's really like the concept of coaching. So what are we actually seeing what that we are doing? So our behaviors. And what are our values? And just putting up them up on a whiteboard or even on the table if you're doing like Zoom, and see how much overlap or how near are they in proximity to each other, and what needs to change on them, because stickies are really easy to rewrite, throw away. So we can say that, well, this isn't really the value, it, what I meant was, and so you can play with it and use it in a here and now manner, and having the visualization, looking how the behaviors can move towards the value, or even see that the value might be closer to the actual behavior than you thought. It's really powerful to see. And working with groups, this is a huge benefit as well, because you have these discussions and you have the added benefit that everyone sees what is happening, and you can talk to what you see as well as what you hear. So that's my tool of preference.
Mm. And if you, the listener, has been affected by such a problem as addiction to sticky notes, then you can also join Jonninger at his Sticky Notes Anonymous group, which is available frequently. So look, I've got while you were speaking, I couldn't help but think, I'm going to do you a quick fire round of questions, okay? And don't think too much about the answer. Are you ready, Jonninger?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Favorite color of sticky note?
Pink.
Okay. Do you like the sticky notes that are the glue all at the top, or where they're concertina so they alternate?
Our glue on the top has to be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you own a suit that's made out of sticky notes?
No, I don't.
Would you like to own a suit that's made out of sticky notes?
Yeah, that would be brilliant, really. Yeah.
Okay. What's the one thing that you see that makes you want to cry when someone is using a sticky note incorrectly, in your opinion?
It's trying to get everything captured in one sticky. So writing a Word document in a sticky, that's, I think, is the worst thing.
You do know that the first Declaration of Independence was actually written on a sticky note. That's not true at all. Okay, before we go off this topic, your favourite exercise that you run with sticky notes? Aha, got you there.
Well, I think actually that is the thing I mentioned just now, because I think it's so powerful and create awareness quite instantly and gets people motivated to do something about it. Because values, in my opinion, is what is important to you. And if you're doing something different than what's important to you, well, that's a really big driver towards starting that change journey. So I think that's my favorite with using stickies, yeah.
Cool. And I might not include this in the podcast, but what are your top three values? Are you willing to tell me?
Mm-hmm. My top three values. Yeah, so I think my top one is passion, and it's passion like in what really drives you, and not only love passion, but really what are you passionate about? I've come to realize that safety is probably also one of my top three. Yes, so that's something I've learned about myself through coaching. And the last one I would add is openness. So I really love the opportunity to be fully open with people and also have that back. So living in that openness, I think, is really, yeah. So I probably do those three, yeah.
Are you happy for me to include those in the podcast?
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. Great.
So I believe that you've got your items for the backpack. You've got your book, TA Today. You've got your tool or concept of systems thinking. You've got your sticky notes as your other item, and you've got Robert Keegan as your person who's accompanying you rather than going in the backpack. Now, I've got another question for you. Sometimes people help you pack your backpack. And so what is the one item that you would want to make sure is not going in that backpack?
Yeah, it's a really great question. And I think time. And it's not time itself. It's more like awareness of time or the stress of time. Because for myself, I know that I can be really stressed out if I know that I have short time. So as a coach, I would like to not have that burden.
Yeah, sorry, John. Sorry, Yoni. We're out of time. We're going to have to.
Yeah, but also for the coachee is to be able to go into what they're working on and not think about, is this going to take 2 or 3 hours or is it going to be 30 minutes? But more like focusing on what are we getting out of it? So yeah, I would think awareness or stress of time would be my not to bring.
I can't remember if I've brought this up before, but I was trying to encourage my youngest daughter to get ready for school about a year or so ago. She was, what, maybe 9? And I said, we don't have time. I can't remember what it was she was trying to do. We don't have time for that. And she looked back at me and earnestly just said, Daddy, all we've got is time. It was like 8 o'clock in the morning or something. I was like, I can't even deal with this, right? This is not a conversation for now. But of course, she's right.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
So where do you hope that you are or are not heading for this mystery coaching gig?
Well, I think that I would like to be outside in Oslo or a similar city which has the alternation between nature and city buildings and roads. Because I like walking outside, so I'm aware that I can't bring my stickies and whiteboard outside that well. But really, I like walking outside and doing coaching outside. And the reason for it to be having this interaction between nature and city environment is it supports me, at least, in seeing the larger things. So we are on this planet. We are building these cities and we are part of nature. And seeing the contrast, because I grew up with a almost like not a disregard for what we build, but more like, yes, this is ruining nature, these roads. And yes, we have a lot of that as well, but it reminds me of the good intent. We're trying to do something in our world. Even we might be missing something as well, but yeah, we are living in this nature and we're calling it now a city as well. So this is a thing that I've been really fond of working in city nature constellations. Yeah.
I love a bit of outside coaching as well. Like that walking coaching. Obviously, yeah. Everyone in Oslo and Norway as a whole, a massive generalization here, goes out to their cabin at the weekend. That's what it appears to be. Every time I meet anyone, it's like, what are you doing? Off to the cabin.
Yes, and we always have skis. In summer or in winter, we are born with skis. So, yeah.
Permanently attached to your feet.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, look, thank you, Jonninger, for being our guest. If people would like to know more about you, where can they go?
Well, I think that the best place is to go to adventureswithagile.com or rather Norge at adventureswithagile.com, or they could just look me up on LinkedIn as well.
We'll put links in the show notes so that people can click on those as well. Well, again, thank you, Jonninger, for being our guest.
Thank you. This has been wonderful and always fun.
And thank you for joining us on this episode of The Coach's Backpack. If you would like extra goodies such as free tools, offers, further info about our guests, and maybe even the odd peek inside their actual backpack, sign up to our mailing list at thecoachesbackpack.com. And don't forget to follow the podcast. See you next time.